All righty. Welcome to the Thursday edition of KSRO's Ask the Expert with Dr. Walter Tom. Dr. Tom is a medical director for the Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center, Santa Rosa, Maui, Napa. You've been doing it since 1999, I believe. That's getting up there.
It's a long time.
Gosh.
For being 29, it's a long time.
Been, I like that you said that.
Time,
I was going to say that first, right?
Okay.
You strongly believe in education and educating the public. You've been here for over 11 years. You share your passion with for education professionally and teaching and lecturing nationally, internationally. Immediate past president of the California Academy of Cosmetic Surgery and the proud diplomat of the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery for many, many, many years. Welcome to the program, Dr. Tom.
Thank you, Robin.
We're glad you're here. You've been out and about. You've been in Maui this past week.
We were.
Yeah.
Taking care of the residents of Maui. We love, some people ask me, why do you have all these different offices?
Sure, good question.
And actually, probably a business consultant would just say, stay in one office and you'll do just as well. But I actually like feeling the part of community with a lot of different areas. So, you know, I've lived here for over 34 years now, but it took me past 20 years of living in Sonoma County before I even started to explore, Napa. And it's really great to have new friends and new community there. And I, of course, love the islands and Maui in particular. And so it's nice to not be a tourist there, but to be part of the community. So that's really important to me.
It's, you know, you do get a different beat of a place when you're actually there, don't you?
When you're involved with the community, it makes a huge, whether it's being a parent or volunteering or working, it really does make a difference.
Yeah.
And it gives you totally different new insights into an area.
Well, I think it's a great way to kind of get to know, you know, your patients, really, and to kind of get to know the whims of what they want and what they don't want. I mean, you do that anyway.
Right.
You do it very well.
It's an interesting concept that you say they get to know the patients, because a lot of times what I'll tell the patients, if I explain to them that I used to be a general vascular organ transplant surgeon, and now I'm a, and I'll say I used to save lives, sort of tongue in cheek, and then I'll say now I'm a glorified hairdresser, okay, in terms of doing cosmetic medicine or cosmetic surgery. But what I really like, and the part of the reason that I made the move was not financial, but was actually in terms of the way that the practice of medicine is going, is that I could actually still spend a lot of time with my patients, and so that's really important to us.
You know, it's kind of a thing, unfortunately, that's going by the wayside with these big conglomerates and whatnot. So to have that personal touch. Anywhere in any part of our lives it feels good, doesn't it?
It does, and it definitely is part of our what I would call our mission statement, and so that's really important. That's why we're doing our Facebook, by the way. For those who don't know, we are, of course, are on KSRO Radio Live, but we are also streaming this on Facebook. So if you are just go to Aesthetic Laser and Vein Centers and you hook in there, and we should just immediately come up, and we're doing live face stream.
There
face
you go.
Live Facebook.
It's
live
a whole
streaming.
New world.
What
it's
are those
a whole new
things?
World. I know
what
I have my 85-year-old mom here for the last couple of years, and I go, you can do this and that, and you know, it's a whole new world, really, isn't it?
It completely is. It really is.
I like
it's
it. Though.
Great.
It's
I
great.
Love it.
We can
love
keep in
technology.
Touch with everybody. Yes. Well, as we get ready for the show, we talk. What do you want to talk about this week? What do you want to talk about that week? Your niche really is doing things under local versus, you know, going under, which isn't necessarily great for us, you know, at any age, but especially as we get older, right?
Right.
And you're doing something now. Breast augmentations was kind of a big part of your practice.
Yes.
And the subset is breast lifts. And weren't you hearing that? Now, if I'm speaking out of turn, let me know. You're hearing that feedback from patients, Dr. Tom, when are you going to start doing this or that, right?
That's correct. And so really being the first surgeon in Northern California to introduce smart lipo, which was laser liposuction. And one of the biggest component of that is that we did that under local anesthesia, or what we call tumescent anesthesia. What was remarkable is that although it took a little bit longer, because I have to be very patient putting in local anesthesia, you're talking to the patient, reassuring them throughout the procedure so that it's a very comfortable procedure for them. And so what we want, and that's really important, what I found was a recovery was so much better, the safety of the procedure is so much greater than other ways of doing anesthesia for appropriate operations.
Right.
And so patients kept, it's really patient demand, and they asked me about breast augmentation that we introduced under local anesthesia.
Sure.
And then, of course, the next step, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is why women would want and what are the nuances of having a breast lift.
Right.
And what's really great, just a little story, is that I really love being educated, and I also like educating. And so we hold workshops, professional workshops for physicians, and there was a plastic surgeon from Austin, Texas, a great person. I really like her a lot. And she came to our breast augmentation workshop here in Santa Rosa that was going to be done under local anesthesia. And she told me outright when she came that she was being very skeptical that this could be done under local anesthesia.
Understandably.
And so as we were getting candidates and patients who would volunteer to be part of the workshop, we had one patient that we were doing a breast lift on that wasn't going to be in the agenda of cases that we were going to be performing that day. It was a two-day workshop. So we did do a breast lift, and this plastic surgeon, she was blown away. She thought that was great, and she immediately went back to Austin, Texas, and she did several patients that way, and I've been in communication with her, and she loved it because what she saw was how comfortable the patient was. She couldn't believe it. Number one, and secondly, how quickly they recovered from the operation.
What's the difference, would you say? I'm a lay person. Anesthesia versus local.
Okay, so when we say anesthesia, and when we talk about this, and so I want people to understand that I'm not against general anesthesia. In my other life of, quote, saving lives as a general vascular transplant surgeon, the majority of the operations were done under general because that's the way they had to be done. And there have been such great advances with general anesthesia, and I have wonderful anesthesia colleagues both here in Sonoma County and Napa that operations could be done very safely. But when you get into the realm of cosmetic or plastic surgery and you're talking about elective operations that, quote, some people may say are not necessary, they're cosmetic, you really want to minimize your risk. Okay, we're not operating on cancer or a life-threatening issue. We're talking about cosmetics. And especially for moms. And that's huge. Many women, doesn't matter if they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever they are, right, for us aging baby boomers, right, Robin, we were talking about that beforehand, is that they are concerned about being put under general when they're having something done for a cosmetic reason. Absolutely. And so doing procedures under local anesthesia, number one, are safer. Okay. Some critics may say, well, you know, Dr. Tom, you're not protecting the airway. That's our gag reflex, where to prevent aspiration. And if you get an aspiration pneumonia, that can be very bad. Mm-hmm. But aspiration pneumonia can occur more with general anesthesia or even with what we call intravenous sedation or twilight, okay? Because your conscious has been altered, and so your gag reflex is actually diminished. Under local anesthesia, I'm talking to you the whole time. One of the best ways to protect a patient or a person's airway from aspirating is to have them be awake.
Okay.
You put your finger down your throat, what are you going to do? Yay. You're going to gag. And so that's going to be probably the safest way of doing that. And we do everything. You're not in twilight. You're actually awake talking to us during the procedure. So the key is that I move very slowly in putting the local anesthesia in and I ask people when they're wondering about local anesthesia versus general, say, who do you think is going to be more gentle with the procedure? Mm. So if you're doing the procedure on a patient who's awake under local anesthesia versus the patient's asleep. So it's just so there's those nuances. Mm-hmm. Local anesthesia also has anti-bleeding effects, or what we call hemostatic benefits. And so part of it is just the fluid in there helps to compress blood vessels. And also epinephrine, or adrenaline that's in the local anesthesia, helps to constrict blood vessels. So it actually diminishes our blood loss as well.
We don't know all this behind the scenes, and it's good to know that because when you're going in for anything, knowledge is power.
Right, absolutely, and so that's why we spend a lot of time talking to patients about that, and especially for women who are coming to see us for breast cosmetic surgery, and in particular, as I know we're going to talk about now, breast lifts.
Breast lifts, okay. I appreciate, number one, that you listen to your patients, and you go, okay, I'm hearing this over and over again, maybe I should dig in, and is that what you did? You dug in?
With breast lifts, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
It's interesting, my evolution, because when I was a general surgeon and I was doing a lot of breast cancer surgery and taking care of all sorts of patients with all sorts of general surgical problems, occasionally when a patient would come to talk to me about cosmetic breast surgery, I actually would say, you look great, or why do you want to really do this? So I was kind of poo-pooing it. And interestingly enough, here I am now as a cosmetic surgeon doing breast surgery, but I realized that I was being judgmental when I was younger. Okay,
that's,
you know,
fair.
Why do you need that? You know, mm-hmm. why do you want to have this unnecessary mm-hmm. surgery? And I wasn't putting enough weight on how it affected the patient's self-esteem and their confidence, okay? And so I remember talking to a professional colleague. She was not a doctor, but a professional colleague of mine, and she had had a breast reduction and breast lift, and I had asked her, you know, why would she want to do that? And she said at the time, and again, she was a friend, Walter, you know, you don't understand, you know, you don't know what it's like to be lying on your side, having to take your opposite hand to pull your breast up so to help yourself to get up.
Right.
Or your breast is hanging down so low that it's mm-hmm. on your abdomen and it just, you just don't feel feminine. You have to pull them up to put them in the bras. You can't find clothes that fit. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of stuck with me.
That kind of woke you up a little
bit.
That
she was explaining right. And as I said, you know, I mean, a famous line that I love, it's one of my famous rock and roll lines, The Byrds, but actually written by Bob Dylan, was My Back Pages, and the line is, I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. And that really, what does that mean? Is that when we're younger, we're kind of, we're judgmental, and hopefully as we get older and good human beings, is that our minds become more open and more understanding. So really, that's what segued me into doing breast lifts and even breast reductions and lifts for women. And the biggest issue, Robin, is that patients would come to me and they would say, you know, my breasts, and these can be women in their 20s, but more typically you're talking about women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and even in their 70s,
sure.
where they have a lot, they feel like they just don't feel feminine anymore.
Yes.
Their breasts hang down below the rib cage. So if you're just sitting there, if you're a guy, just feel where your rib cage is, okay? Normally the breasts sit above there. Now for these poor ladies, the breast is hanging down below there, down maybe even towards the upper portion of their abdomen.
Sure.
And although jokes can be made about that, when you're that person, it's very disturbing for them. The difficulty of wearing clothes, how they fit, they just don't like it.
No.
Okay, and it really does affect them. And whether you think, oh, it's just cosmetic, and you're being judgmental. I'm going to say that on the line. You're being judgmental. You know, you need to talk to these women where it really bothers them. And so what's great is that they would come in to see us, and when I finally decided to embark upon this by patient demand and request, it's been one of the most rewarding operations that I do for patients.
That's,
yeah, it really
that
is.
It really feels good to have you say that. I mean, especially from a man.
Sure.
It just feels good that you're understanding all of that. You know, I've had friends, you know, they're saying that their shoulders, the bra strap is digging into their shoulders, and
right.
you know, and they're getting backaches or headaches from all of that.
Right.
Too.
So that would be for patients who have large breasts,
exactly.
very, very large breasts, and it's not just that we all want to be. You know, obviously, I'm Chinese and Greek growing up in Detroit, and I wanted to be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed beach boy, okay? That, you know, we always want to be something we're not.
Exactly.
But this goes beyond, oh, the small-chested woman wants to be bigger and the large-breasted woman wants to be smaller.
Sure.
This is actually really symptomatic, and patients can get back pain, neck pain from this, as well as the hint on their self-esteem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So these patients I find to be very grateful for this operation.
There's a solution.
Yes, that there is something and that it can help them. In fact, I find that many times the breast lift patients, and I know this is counterintuitive probably for the listeners, but that breast lift patients are actually even more grateful than breast augmentation patients. And breast augmentation patients love their new look.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. What, really?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Right, it really is. And so I really enjoy this. And just so there is a little bit of a nuance here, though, as you're listening to this, I do believe that the general public, women, especially young women, as well as even physicians in the medical community, think that the breasts are supposed to sit up higher than they actually naturally do. Okay, we're used to seeing, you know, there's the company, the VS company that makes bras and so forth, and their catalogs, and you see the breasts which are sitting up so high that you can put your drink on top of them, right?
Exactly.
You know, that
kind
of look. Okay, and so I thought that was just Michael coughing. I thought I made him laugh. Okay, but you know where they sit up so high, and that's not really natural look or natural position for the breast, unless you're about 13 years old.
Okay.
And so if for a lady who feels like, oh, I just want them to be just up about
a smidgen,
you know, a quarter of an inch, I don't think that that's worth it. Won't do that operation. I won't do a breast lift for that patient because I feel that you're trading scars on the breast and the way that we do the operation, the architectural changes we have to do for getting just a very, very small lift. Mm-hmm. What I'm referring to, or what we're talking about today, I'm not against those women if that's what they want doing that, but where I get my greatest gratification in terms of helping patients are for the women where the breasts are really hanging down low, okay, where they are so embarrassed they won't even get undressed in front of their partners, okay, unless they're in the dark or they go in the closet or the bathroom to put on their pajamas or their nightwear. For the women who don't feel feminine, that they're hanging down and they have a hard time getting their breasts to sort of even fit into their bras. Those are the patients who really, I think, are who understand that despite the fact that they need an operation, yes, there are going to be scars, incisions on the breast, in order to get the breast lift that they want into the correct position, but they're willing for that trade-off because it's such a hit on them in terms of either physical hit or emotional hit on them that they understand they're willing to do that. To go through a breast lift, those are the patients that I think we can help the most.
I love that. Risk-benefit-reward, right?
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a little break, and then I have a few questions about kind of the procedure itself. Can we talk a little
bit
about that?
Absolutely, we should do that.
Okay. More with Dr. Walter Thom. We are here every Thursday from 12:30 to 1. Dr. Thom is the medical director of the Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center Santa Rosa, Napa, Maui. Remember them at drwalterthom.com. We're live streaming on Facebook right now. Back with Dr. Thom in a moment.
You know him from 60 Minutes. Come meet Scott Pelley, one of the most experienced and awarded correspondents in broadcast journalism, who will be in conversation with KSRO host Pat Carrigan on Wednesday, June 5th at the Flamingo Resort in Santa Rosa. Pelley served as the CBS News Chief White House Correspondent, anchor of the CBS Evening News for 6 years, and has been reporting stories for 60 Minutes since 2004. His stories have accounted for half of all the major awards won by that broadcast show since he joined it. Now he's on tour with his new book, The Truth Worth Telling, A Reporter's Search for Meaning in the Stories of Our Times. If you're trying to make meaning from the news, join us for a veteran correspondent's take on that and hear his defense of free speech and free press. Pelley will be in conversation with the winner of the National Association of Broadcasters' highest honor, the Marconi Award, Pat Carrigan. Tickets include the book and are available at SonomaCountySpeakerSeries.com or on Eventbrite under Scott Pelley.
The North Bay's most innovative makerspace.
What we do here is provide public access to professional-grade equipment.
Having a vision.
We have a lot to offer, classes, meetups, a great community of folks all doing creative projects.
At 180 Studios in Santa Rosa, if you need it, they have it.
Classroom space, digital fab lab, which includes laser cutter, 3D printer, 3D scanner, and vinyl cutter. We have a computer lab to output to all the various CNC machines. We have an electronics lab, a machine shop, a full wood shop, and welding studio.
Imagine what you can create.
A couple different robotics teams come through. We've had an overland vehicle get developed, rockets, we've had go-karts, cutting boards, you name it.
Industry, art, and education. 180 Studios, a makerspace on Todd Road and 180studios.org.
We're 180 Studios, and we have space for you.
Thank you, Mike DeWald. Welcome back to the Thursday edition of KSRO's Ask the Expert with Dr. Walter Thom, our medical director for the Aesthetic Laser and Vein Centers. Three locations, Santa Rosa, Napa, now in Maui. DrWalterThom.com is the website. Great before and after pictures, and it's kind of fun to kind of just cruise that. And remember them at the office, 707-542-8346. And today we're talking about doing things under, you know, local, that's your niche. The breast dogs, which were huge, you listened to a subset of patients, and they were going, Dr. Tom, can you do a breast lift for us? Can you do a breast lift? And now you've said yes, and you've brought that to the centers. Now, where does it start? Does it start with an evaluation, or, I mean, what's the process here?
Right, so it always starts with an evaluation. Okay, so number one, we want to make sure, as I talk to the patients, I said, you need, and they're evaluating us and we're evaluating them. I tell them, you want to, number one, make sure, hey, do I like this doctor? Do I think that I can work with him or her? That's number one. Do I think that that person can deliver on my expectations? And then I want to see the results. And so that's where we sit and we show our before and after photos and so forth.
Oh, that's great.
Right. So I will then evaluate the patient. We'll do a physical exam, get their medical history. That's always important because you want to do things safely for them. And then we want to, we'll take photos. And then, of course, in the privacy in my office with the patient, we'll go over that and I'll show them where, how their breasts have changed. Maybe it's due to pregnancy. It can be due to weight loss.
Right.
Okay. Sometimes we ask people who've lost a lot of weight, and sometimes just the aging process where the breast has dropped. And so we'll go over all of that with them after that evaluation. We'll do some measurements because that's important.
Sure.
Okay. And we're going to get into the procedure in a minute. But basically, what we're doing is architectural restructuring of the breast. And that's how I try to discuss it. We're changing the architecture of the breast.
Okay.
And then also I want to make sure that the goals of the patient that I feel that I can meet the goals of the patient, okay?
And you like to err on the side of being a little bit more, under-promising
and over-delivering. Absolutely. I think that's really important. That's just important. I think it's important in life, and especially in cosmetic medicine. So after we do their evaluation, Robin, and of course their schedule, we do all the testing that needs to be done. And again, being a previous breast cancer surgeon, breast health is important. So if they're at that age of risk, we definitely would have them make sure they get a mammogram, physical exam, and so forth to make sure that they're clear as best as we can know.
We should do that anyways, absolutely.
Then we'll go ahead and we'll proceed. What's really wonderful is beforehand in terms of preparation, other than that, and besides just trying to be healthy, is that there's really not anything special that they need to do except for trying to avoid medicines that can make you bleed about a week beforehand.
Okay.
So that would be aspirin, ibuprofen, we call them non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents like ibuprofen and other anti-arthritic medication. Fish oil, omega-3 fatty acids, sometimes a lot of the homeopathics, I'm not against them. I think they're wonderful, but for instance, garlic, ginkgo can actually cause increased bleeding. So we'll have you stop that a week beforehand.
Okay.
So you would come in for then the procedure. Okay. And I again would right then there do the measurements that we have to do, and then you would come in with our team, and we have two scrub techs, and we have our lead nurse, Jackie Castaglia, who's been on the show with us, who's just really
great.
A terrific nurse, we bring you in, and we get you all prepped off, and you're not watching any of this, even though we're talking to you. And so what I would tell the patients,
right,
you're actually getting a head massage from Jackie while she's monitoring you, and you're warm and warm, and we have the real fancy OR table that's actually a fancy massage table, and so we just really make sure that you're comfortable. And then at that point in time, we start putting in the local anesthesia. So yes, there are going to be some pinpricks, but the key is to go slow. And there is, unfortunately he's passed away, but Dr. Stephen Davis is a dentist here in Santa Rosa, who was my dentist for many years. And I joke and say that I'm the president of the Weenie Club, okay? And he was the first dentist that I went to who actually made injections. I didn't even worry about them. Okay,
because he
was the one who really taught me to, first of all, you distract the patient initially, and then you go in and you inject so slowly that if you were looking at the syringe, it's just imperceptible, the movement, and you just take your time. So the key to doing many of the procedures is that you have to be patient. Okay, so doing procedures under local is not right for every surgeon, because some surgeons, that's just not their priority, okay? And I'm not saying that's anything wrong with that, but that's not their priority of taking the time and going slowly for the patient. So Dr. Davis, thank you up there in heaven somewhere for teaching me that. And so we just go very, very slowly. So we freeze up a few areas, okay? The key when we do breast lifts alone, not with an augmentation, is that we don't have to manipulate the chest muscle. We're not putting an implant under the chest muscle. So it actually is an extremely comfortable procedure. So initially, the patients will feel a little pinprick as I start to slowly infuse local anesthesia underneath the breast and into the skin. After maybe about half a minute or a minute or two of some discomfort of just having the injections, then we move from the anesthetized area to the unanesthetized area, so the discomfort is very minimal. Okay, we've already made our markings so beforehand, so that in terms of the areas that we want to manipulate to do the breast lift. So now here's the part, and so
what is that?
Now we're going to talk about the procedure itself, and so the key here is to understand that basically what we're trying to do is what we call the nipple areolar complex, and we're going to make it feel real medical now, listeners.
All right.
The NAC, nipple areolar complex, the NAC. We want to take it for maybe it's hanging down below your rib cage, and we want to bring it up to the mid-chest area where you want it, okay, as a patient. Mm-hmm. So we're going to figure out a way of doing that, okay? So it's the opposite of a tummy tuck. What we're eventually going to do under local is just make a new opening on the skin higher up where we want to move the NAC, the nipple areolar complex.
Okay.
Now, and again, we're kind of talking about some of the technical aspects of this. Is not, you don't take the nipple areolar complex, take it off, put it on the side table, and then put it back on, okay? It's attached to the breast tissue itself. All we're doing is unroofing the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing is making that opening there. We're sliding the nipple attached to the breast tissue up into that area,
okay,
suturing it in place, and then removing the excess skin down below. And so as we remove that excess skin down below, we're bringing it together underneath.
Oh.
It's almost like we're creating an internal brassiere. Okay,
so
we're taking that excess skin below and we're bringing it together.
Okay.
And that's where we're doing some architectural changes without getting into too much of the actual tech. I've already done more than I normally do on this show, but
you know,
to explain how that's done, we're basically sliding the breast tissue up, removing excess skin, bringing it together underneath, and suturing it all together.
Sounds like my grandmother's sewing or something.
Oh,
you know?
That's actually true. I wish I did sew more when I was younger. I would have been a better surgeon more quickly. Yes.
Well, it's just like you're tucking it under and it goes up.
Exactly. So
Okay. It's
an up tuck. Instead of talking about tummy tuck, it's a breast tuck. And that's exactly what we're doing, taking the tissue from below, tucking it underneath to push the glandular breast tissue in the nipple upwards.
Are there sutures? Are they dissolvable?
We use all dissolvable sutures,
okay,
so there are no sutures to remove.
Okay. And then how long do you have to be like that? So you do all that.
And then
you wrap you up,
okay.
Right.
Right. So most patients, actually, I have many patients, about half of them, who don't take the narcotic pain medication that we give them, and they just take Tylenol.
Okay?
Really, about half of those patients, and the other half do need it, and that's fine. They are in a surgical bra.
Okay.
And so they're going to wear that 24/7 for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. We have the patients come back the next day for us to evaluate them.
Okay.
And then we go through the whole recovery process, which I know we're going to cover in the next segment.
We will. We have to go to news now because that was so interesting. I could talk to you all afternoon. But hopefully you'll call them if you have questions, 707-546-8346.
8346.
Did I do it right?
We'll have to do this on the next
Dr.
show.
Dr. Walter Tom. See you next week.